All right, welcome to the deep dive. Now, if you're tackling the ACCA financial reporting exam, the FR paper, then you're definitely in the right spot. This session is specifically for you, really. We're using the official ACCA study guide and actually a really helpful visual overview of Chapter 8 that you sent over. So think of this as a focused revision boost.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to take those resources you provided and really zoom in on one of the key syllabus areas.
Okay.
Our mission basically is to unpack the accounting for borrowing costs. We'll look at the main standard, that's IAS 23, and especially get into the rules about adding these costs onto assets capitalization. It's all about, you know, giving you that clarity you need for the exam.
Perfect. And just so everyone's clear, the specific bit we're diving into, highlighted right there in your Chapter 8 overview, is the accounting treatment of borrowing costs, all guided by IAS 23.
Right. And understanding borrowing costs, it isn't just about memorizing one standard, is it? It's fundamental. It slots right into Section B of the FR syllabus, accounting for transactions.
Oh.
You've probably covered the groundwork, like the conceptual framework, the regulatory side of things. Now you're applying specific standards, like this one, IAS 23, to, well, actual business activities. It shows how funding big projects impacts asset values, impacts profit. It's a really crucial piece of the puzzle.
Okay, great context. So let's unpack it. Your chapter overview kicks off straight away with IAS 23 borrowing costs. So what's the main goal here? What's this standard trying to sort of achieve?
Well, at its heart, IAS 23 is about bringing consistency. It's aiming to standardize how companies deal with the costs they rack up when they borrow money. We're talking mainly interest, but other related charges too. The standard covers basically all borrowing costs incurred.
Okay. And your overview, it also mentions arguments under IAS 23. It doesn't spell them out, but it suggests there's like a debate. What's the underlying issue there?
Yeah, the arguments point, it flags up the historical debate, really. Before the standard, or even as it was developed, there was this question. If a company borrows, say, specifically to build a factory, something that takes ages to complete, should the interest on that loan just be an expense, you know, hit the P&L straight away?
Right.
Or should that interest be seen as part of the cost of actually getting that factory ready? And if so, should it be added to the asset's cost on the balance sheet?
Okay. So it's that classic accounting dilemma. Expense it now or capitalize it as part of the asset, applied to interest cost.
Precisely. That's the core tension. One view is, look, interest is a financing cost, period. Expense it. The other view says, hang on, if the borrowing is directly for building this specific big asset, then the interest is just as much a cost of that asset as, say, the concrete or the labor. IAS 23 steps in to settle that debate with specific rules.
Got it. Which naturally brings us to the core accounting treatment, which is also flagged right there in your overview. So how does IAS 23 tell companies to handle these costs? What are the rules?
Okay, so the standard basically gives you two main routes. The default setting, the general rule, is actually quite simple. Borrowing costs. They're recognized as an expense.
Just straight to the income statement.
Yep. Straight to profit or loss in the period you incur them. Pay the interest. It reduces your profit for that period. Pretty straightforward.
Okay, seems simple enough, but I'm guessing there's a but. An exception.
There definitely is, and this is the really critical part of IAS 23, especially thinking about your FR exam. For certain assets, what the standard calls qualifying assets, any borrowing costs that are directly attributable to getting that asset ready, well, they must be capitalized.
Must be. Not optional.
Mandatory. If the conditions are met, you have to capitalize. This means adding those costs to the cost of the asset shown on the statement of financial position. They don't hit the P&L immediately. And this ties right back to what the study guide says under B.1a, that the initial cost of non-current assets includes borrowing costs in certain cases.
And you mentioned this is tested at intellectual level 2. What does that mean in practice for someone studying?
Yeah, level 2. It means you need to go beyond just knowing the definition. You need to be able to apply the rules. So in an exam scenario, you'd need to look at the details provided and figure out, okay, is this a qualifying asset? And which specific borrowing costs can actually be capitalized. It's about application and analysis, not just recall.
Right. Application. Makes sense. That often means getting into the details, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is probably where the capitalization issues section of your overview fits in. Looks like it covers the how and when.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break that down. First things first, what exactly counts as a qualifying asset?
Good question. It's the gateway, really. IAS 23 defines it quite specifically. A qualifying asset is one that, and this is key, necessarily takes a substantial period of time to get ready for its intended use or sale.
Substantial period of time.
Yeah. Great.
What does that usually mean? Like big projects?
Generally, yes. Think large-scale construction buildings, factories, maybe infrastructure like a bridge or a power plant. It could also be complex internal projects like developing a major software system. Even some types of inventory could qualify if they take a long time to mature or produce, like, say, whiskey aging in casks or certain agricultural cycles. The emphasis is on that substantial period.
So something you just buy off the shelf, like a standard machine or inventory that you buy and sell quickly, that wouldn't qualify.
Exactly right. If it's basically ready to use or sell the moment you get it, it doesn't meet that substantial period test. Borrowing costs related to buying those, usually just expensed as incurred under the general rule.
Okay, got it. Need significant time to get ready. So once we've identified a qualifying asset, what about the costs themselves? Which ones are eligible for capitalization?
Right, eligible costs. The standard says these are borrowing costs directly attributable to the acquisition, construction, or production of that qualifying asset. Directly attributable is the key phrase here.
Meaning you can clearly link the borrowing to the asset.
Yes. The easiest case is if a company takes out a loan specifically for that project, say a construction loan just for building the new warehouse. The interest on that specific loan is generally eligible. It gets a bit more complex if the company uses its general borrowings, like from a line of credit or general corporate bonds, to fund part of the project.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So if it's not a specific loan, but just general funds, how does that work? Can you still capitalize?
You can, yes, but you need to figure out how much.
Yeah.
You can capitalize a portion of the costs on those general borrowings. Typically, you'd calculate a capitalization rate, often a weighted average interest rate, based on all the company's general outstanding debt during the period.
Weighted average rate.
You then apply that rate to the amount of money actually spent on the qualifying asset during the period. So the capitalized amount from general borrowings is based on the asset expenditure and this calculated average rate. The FR exam might not always throw super complex calculations for this at you, but you definitely need to understand the principle that you allocate a portion based on spending and an average rate. Practice questions often test this.
Okay, that makes sense. Identify the asset, identify the eligible cost, specific loans, or a calculated portion of general ones. Now, the timing. This seems crucial. Your overview lists commencement. When do you actually flick the switch and start capitalizing?
Yeah, timing is absolutely critical, and it's a favorite area for examiners. Capitalization starts when and only when all three of the following things are happening at the same time.
All three. Okay, what are they?
One, expenditures for the asset are actually being incurred. Money is flowing out for the project, payments for materials, labor, contractor fees, whatever it is.
You're spending money. Check.
Two, borrowing costs themselves are being incurred. The company is actually paying interest or other finance costs on the borrowings.
Paying for the money. Got it.
And three, activities necessary to prepare the asset for its intended use or sale are in progress. And this isn't just, pouring concrete. It includes essential prep work too, technical stuff, admin, getting permits, site surveys, architectural plans, even before physical work starts, if these necessary activities are happening.
Right, so it's not just about the physical build. So you need all three lights to be green simultaneously. Spending on the asset, incurring borrowing costs, and actively working on getting it ready. If you, say, get the loan but don't start spending or doing any prep work for months, you can't capitalize that interest yet.
Exactly. No capitalization until all three conditions are met. The interest incurred before that point, just expensed.
Okay, clear. What about pausing? The overview mentions suspension. When would you need to hit pause on capitalizing?
Suspension applies if active development gets interrupted for an extended period. Think a major unforeseen stoppage. Maybe there's a strike that halts construction for 3 months, or a crucial permit gets revoked and everything stops while it's sorted out. Or maybe a global shortage means you just can't get essential materials for a long time.
So a significant unexpected break.
Yes, significant and generally unplanned. During that extended period where active work isn't happening, you suspend capitalization. Any borrowing costs incurred during that suspension, they go straight to the profit or loss account as an expense.
But what about like short breaks, waiting for paint to dry, or a scheduled weekend off?
No, typically not for those. Brief interruptions that are just a normal part of the construction or development process wouldn't usually trigger suspension. It's really about those extended periods where active development genuinely stops.
Got it. Extended halts mean you expense the interest during the halt. And then the final timing point, cessation. When do you stop capitalizing altogether?
Capitalization stops at CSIS when substantially all the activities needed to get the qualifying asset ready for its intended use or sale are complete.
Substantially all activities complete. Does that mean when it's actually being used?
Not necessarily when it's used, but when it's ready for use. It's about the asset being capable of operating in the manner intended by management.
Capability, not actual operation.
Precisely. So take that factory example again. Capitalization would stop when the building's done, the main machinery is installed, and it could start production. Even if management decides, for market reasons or whatever, to wait a few more weeks or months before actually flicking the switch and starting production, the capitalization stops when it's substantially ready.
Okay. And what if a project has different parts, like building several units in a housing development?
Good point. If a project involves constructing distinct parts, and each part can be used independently while work continues on others, then capitalization usually stops for each specific part as it is completed and ready. So you might stop capitalizing for building A when it's finished, even while building B is still underway.
That makes sense. Nailing down these dates, commencement, suspension, cessation, feels like where a lot of the marks could be won or lost in an exam question. That level 2 application you mentioned really comes into play here.
Absolutely. Identifying the qualifying asset is step 1, sure, but correctly applying these timing rules, knowing exactly when to start, potentially pause, and finally stop adding those borrowing costs to the asset value, that's often the trickiest part and requires real practice with scenarios.
Okay, so this deep dive, really guided by the ACCA study guide and your Chapter 8 overview, has taken us through the core of IAS 23 borrowing costs.
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at what the standard aims to do, that fundamental split between expensing and capitalizing, and then really drilled into those crucial capitalization rules. What makes an asset qualifying, which costs are eligible, and those all important timing triggers, commencement, suspension, and cessation.
And just to loop back to the bigger picture, the FR syllabus. Remember how this all feeds into the financial statements you'll prepare or analyze? Capitalizing costs. It makes the asset value bigger on the statement of financial position.
Right. Higher assets.
Expensing costs, either the default or during suspension, hits your profit directly on the income statement. Lower profit in that period. These choices, or rather, these requirements under IAS 23, they directly impact things like return on assets, gearing ratios, all the stuff you look at in Section C of the syllabus, the analysis and interpretation part. So understanding IAS 23 isn't just about rules, it's about understanding the impact on the numbers.
And worth repeating, because it's level 2 assessment. Just knowing the definitions isn't quite enough, is it?
Yeah, definitely not. You have got to get your hands dirty with practice questions. Applying these rules to different scenarios, different sets of facts, that's how you build the confidence to handle it in the exam. Use those past papers, use the question banks.
Practice, practice, practice. Got it.
That's the key. You need to get comfortable spotting those commencement dates, figuring out suspension periods, identifying when cessation happens in a given story, and maybe doing a calculation or two.
Okay, so before we wrap up, here's something for you, the listener, to maybe mull over as you continue revising this. Think about this. Imagine two companies building identical factories, same physical costs, same timeline. But Company A funds it all with equity, no debt. Company B uses a lot of debt and dutifully capitalizes the borrowing costs under IAS 23.
Mm-hmm. Interesting comparison.
During the construction phase, how would their financial statements look different? Think about reported assets, reported profits. And maybe more importantly, what might someone just looking at those headline numbers conclude about each company's performance or financial strength if they didn't understand why they look different because of IAS 23?
Yeah, that's a great thought exercise. It connects the accounting rule directly to how users might perceive the company. It really helps cement the why.
Absolutely. Well, a huge thank you again to our listener for sending over the ACCA study guide reference. And that Chapter 8 overview really helped us focus this deep dive. We genuinely hope this session gives you a solid advantage as you revise borrowing costs for your FR exam. Keep digging into that syllabus. You've got this.